Vov Tavis Toshin Pei Vov, Ravi Shua from Noishinza.
It's always a tremendous pleasure to be back. Such a special share start you did with Haraway. We all know and have heard of the village of Chaim Kreiswitz, and before the war, before the Holocaust, he was approached by a very wealthy Yid. And he had explained, "I don't believe I'm going to survive the war. I'm elderly. Terrible things are going to happen. I don't see how I'm going to make it through. So what have I done with all my nechos and with all my possessions? I have not just houses, I have streets, villages, farms, diamonds. I have a lot. It's all going to disappear. It's all going to be taken by the Nazis. No way. So I've spent a long time liquidizing it. I've been selling everything, all my houses, all my villages, all my diamonds, everything into cash. And I've taken that cash and I've transferred that into whatever the Swiss currency was at the time, Swiss francs, or perhaps it was something else, and I've deposited it into a Swiss bank account. And what's my rock and what do I want to happen with this money? After the war, I want it to go to my children. Many, many, many millions of Swiss francs. I want that to go to my children. I don't believe I'm going to be there to give it to them. So please, Reb Chaim, take these details, the access details to the Swiss bank account, and when they survive in Yitzhak, and my children make sure to give it to them. Mishra Chaim didn't want the Achrayas of taking so much money from someone and having. And he said, "B'nei Achrayas, if you insist, I'll take it and I'll do Ishtavis after the war to find your children and give it to them." We all know the war broke out and it was terrible. Many people lost their lives, and among them was also this Gvir Shiyah, this wealthy Jew. Reb Chaim, true to his word, began searching for the descendants, the children of this wealthy Yid. But it wasn't so easy. We all know after the war, huge amounts of resources and work went into relocating people, relocating families, putting families together. It wasn't so easy. And especially to go and find some Yid he didn't manage. He spent years and years looking and searching, and he didn't manage. However, one day, many, many years later, Chaim was traveling by train from place to place, and he met there Epesah Yid, a downtrodden Yid, really disheveled, looking like a Shever Adam, like many did after the war. And he started small talk, trying to be mechazer, this Yid, this survivor. And he got to realize, this Yid, this survivor, what was he doing for Parnassah? He was a shamish in a shul, and back in the day, being a shamish in a shul wasn't the most lucrative. And he was, as we say, he was schlepping himself through life just to get by day by day. And eventually, when they were about to depart, the Chaim said, "Tell me, what's your name?" And the Yid shared what his name was, and it was exactly the name which matched the description of the son of this wealthy person. And he asked a few more details, didn't want to excite anyone prematurely. And he realized, yes, this is the right person. He was so excited, so happy, finally to give back the Aveda to the Baidov, to fulfill his promise of so many years. And he said, "You think you're a poor man. You should know you're a wealthy man. Me, wealthy, I hardly have enough money to cover my basic expenses." He says, "No, you're mistaken." And he said, "You should know your father. Before, you know your father? Yeah, my father was wealthy, but I have nothing. So you know, before your father passed away, before the war, he sold all his nechas and he put it in a Swiss bank account and he asked me to give it to you." And the Yid couldn't believe his luck. "Wow, finally, after all these years, he's going to be a wealthy Yid." And Reb Chaim said, "Here are the access details. Go right away to Switzerland." "Switzerland? How did I get to Switzerland? I don't have a pen to my name." Reb Chaim said, "No problem. I'll lend you the money." He wasn't worried about getting it back at this stage. And the Yid, that's exactly what he did. He took the access details, went to Switzerland, and lived the rest of his life as a wealthy Mechubadig Yid. And Reb Chaim used to turn around to his Talmidim and ask as follows. Give it a question. "Tell me, this Yid, during all those years, was he a wealthy man or was he a poor man?"
He was both.
He was both. And Chaim would say he was a poor man. Because if you're wealthy and you don't know you're wealthy, you're poor. Those those years were years where he actually lived in poverty. He didn't have a good life. Why? Simply because he didn't know about it. And that's always the avoid. If we want to live a good life, we need to know what treasures we have. That can sometimes be a Yom Tov, a Shabbos, or if we have Mishpacha, if we have gifts, talents from Hashem, we always need to know what we have, what gifts we have, and then we live a good life. And really, Parashas Chukas is meramis to this idea very, very strongly. Because if we think about it, Zos Chukas HaTorah, the Lashon Zos Chukas HaTorah, it should really be, you know, we're speaking about a specific parasha, Parah Adumah, we should be saying Zos Chukas Parah Adumah, Zos Chukas something else. But why Zos Chukas HaTorah? So the Sfarim, they explain, and this is a little bit of Pidrush, but they say there is something very special going on over here. There's something which is called a chayk, which is not just in Torah and mitzvahs. Right, of course, there are mitzvahs which are chayk. We don't understand Parah Adumah, and we don't understand many of the other mitzvahs. There's also a chayk in other areas in our lives. There are things which go on, which are painful and difficult for us to manage, difficult for us to swallow. Every person has their pekel, and there's no one that doesn't have a pekel. And sometimes we wonder, Hashem, why did you give me this big concern? Why did you give me this big challenge? The answer is, there are chukim, there's a chayk. And when the Pasuk says, Zos Chukas HaTorah, it's being meramaz to exactly this. This is the chayk of the whole Torah. The whole Torah is full of chukim. And especially as the Sfarim point out, this parasha is a parasha which is full of chukim, not just in mitzvahs, but in Klal Yisrael. It's, as an example, when Miriam passed away, it's when Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest tzaddik, the greatest honor. He was so dedicated to Klal Yisrael. He was the shepherd, the trustworthy shepherd, giving up every ounce of koyach and every second of his life for Klal Yisrael. And he made a minor mistake, l'shem shemayim, with the water. He was only trying to help Klal Yisrael. And what's the tzar? What's the result? He loses his opportunity to enter Yisrael, his life dream. How do we understand something like that? The answer is Zos Chukas HaTorah. Everything is a chayk. Klal Yisrael dying in all the different magevas, all these parashas, it's full of chukim. And the idea is, if we realize, if we appreciate that life is supposed to be a chayk, we're not supposed to understand everything, then all of a sudden everything is so much easier. But of course, there's much more depth to that, and we're going to try to understand how to go through life in a way that even when we come across chukim, we get to appreciate that Hashem has a plan behind it, and sometimes we see it, and sometimes we don't see it. And when we notice Hashem's yad, when there's a window of siyata d'shmaya, we see Hashkacha Pratis, and we take that into our pockets, then even during the more difficult times and the times of Zos Chukas HaTorah, we'll also be able to connect to Hashem during those times and appreciate those times as well. I want to begin by sharing a personal story just which happened with me and my family. Personal stories always have significance. And then we'll move on to some other nekudas. Recently, I decided to gather with my wife. The family needs to go for a small vacation to visit my parents in Switzerland. So we decided we're going to book tickets now. As we all know, tickets today are not what they used to cost. They've gone up in price. So we decided we're going to book well in advance. So we found tickets. We were very happy. Good direct tickets. Swissair. We all know Swissair. That's like the halal of Switzerland. Let's do that. And we tried booking, but there was some malfunction with the card. This card didn't go through, that card didn't go through. Didn't work. Card, we'll wait another couple of days, and eventually a few days or a few weeks, it wasn't working for some reason. And meanwhile, the price does what the price always does. It doesn't go down, it goes up. And the prices went up until Swissair was unaffordable. Okay, next best option is the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ha'aim, and the family needed a break, so okay, we're going to find another way of doing it. And then we found another airline, Asian Air. Most of us haven't heard of this, right? It's one of these knockoff airlines. They take you through Greece or something, and the price was higher, the service was lower, and the chayra, like, not so great, right? Not so the schmack. And we booked with Asian Airline. Okay, so Asian Airline is, the children are excited, parents and I are excited, everything's good, it'll be a longer trip, but we'll get there. And then just recently I get a phone call from someone else who had also booked to go in the summer holidays to Switzerland. And they had booked Swissair, and because Swissair, with everything which was going on from Eretz Yisrael, Swissair is part of the Lufthansa group, and Lufthansa have great, you know, great Avas Yisrael, let's put it that way. So they're very machmin cancelling tickets. And those tickets were cancelled, and there's no other tickets to get. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem made our cards fail, that we have to take the more expensive, more roundabout tickets, but at least we'll be able to get there. Now the question is, what's the, you know, I can be very happy and excited, Baruch Hashem, it worked out well for me, and move on with life. That's not the real idea. The real idea is, Hashem wants me to notice how He's got a master plan. I thought, this has to be terrible, this has to be bad. Hashem wants me to notice that, no, sometimes it looks bad, but I have a bigger plan. And your avoid is to remember that next time you see something which looks bad, to remember, no, Hashem has a master plan. And even though I might not see it right away, I might need to wait a few weeks or a few years, or I may never see what the master plan is, I have to know there is a master plan there. There was once a young Avreich who came up to Chatzpah Levenstein, the famous Mashkiach of Polomich, and he said, I just got married, and the oil of Hanos is so big on me. Every day I wonder how I'm going to pay rent, how I'm going to buy food. And, you know, little does he know, life gets more expensive. And he was really troubled. The stress was really getting at him. And Chazal said, I'll tell you what you need to do. I'll tell you what the Eitzah is for you. You need to go and notice every day how when you've got a sorrow, you've got a trouble, you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, how at the end of the day, you manage to pay the bills. And then what? Take a little notebook and write down. I had no idea how I was going to pay my rent. And then, whatever the story is, I'm listening to them all the time, this and this happened, out of the blue, and I was able to pay my rent. Or I had no idea how I would manage, and it doesn't have to be only in rent, in every sorrow, every difficulty in life. Take note of it when the Yeshua does come. And then when the next sorrow comes, take out that notebook and read what happened. That will be the biggest chizuk for you. More than the greatest shmuzen and the best rushes and the most powerful sparring is your own little notebook in your pocket where you're remembering the siyat d'shmaya which you had from your own maisim. And that Avreich did that, and of course it was the greatest chizuk. A little bit on a chassidish note. The Pramishlama Rebbe brings the Pasuk in Tehillim, it's right at the beginning, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin. It says, Asapro keil choyk, Hashem amar elai b'ni ato, ani ayoyim yeladeticha. And the Pasuk, it's a little bit interesting, the connection between the parts of the Pesukim don't seem to fit. And the Rebbe said a beautiful pshat. Again, this is not Pasuk pshat, but the Remez is beautiful. Asapro keil choik, choik as we explained is a choik a person has in his life, a choik, a difficulty, a challenge. So go and speak out that choik to Hashem. And then what does Hashem go and say back to you? Oma eilai b'niyato, ani hayoyim yeliditicha. Hashem says, you're my son. Have I given birth to you today? You've never seen anything, as we say in English. I wasn't born yesterday. Like, have you never seen Hashem before? And only today, that's the day He gave birth to you? What about when you had the Torah yesterday, and yesteryear, and 5 years ago? What happened then? Hashem just left you, He abandoned you? No, somehow it worked itself out. And if you do that, then what happens? The puzzle continues. Shami meni ve'etno, goyim nach lesecha. Go, ask from me, and then I'll give you. Because when you notice that Hashem gives you, even when things look difficult, when you notice that Hashem has a master plan, and you connect to Hashem through that, and Hashem says, wow, this is someone who's dovok to me, this is someone who has emun in me, this is someone who sees that I have a bigger plan, and I always have your best interest in mind. Ooh, that's the kind of person I want to give to. There was a Yid, back in the shtetl, who wasn't doing so well parnasa-wise. That was back in the day the biggest tzara was the parnasa. Today it's also not so easy. And he realized that the way things were going, he had no way of surviving. So what did he do? He did what many do. He said, I'll go take a trip. Back in the day it wasn't by plane, it was by ship. I'll travel to America, and there, the golden Medina, I'll be able to kind of collect money, raise funds, pay off my debts, and build up a business for my family. So that's what he did. It wasn't a simple voyage at all. He had to take along the little bit of money he had. He had to borrow money even for the travel. But eventually, he arrived. He reached America, the shores of America, and he started that way. He started going around collecting. Now, it wasn't easy. He didn't have the language. He didn't have the confidence. But he learned it slowly, and he went around from shore to shore, collecting a few pennies here, a few coins there, gathering it together, finding where to eat, finding where to sleep. And not pleasant at all, but eventually he managed to raise a sizable amount of money. God, he decided now, it's been a year, I want to go, I want to travel, I want to go back home. He goes to buy a ticket back home, and when he arrives at the ticket office, they say to him, one second, this is going to cost a lot more money than you have here. You've not collected anywhere near enough. And all of a sudden he realized that his entire fortune, which he thought would get him back home and support him when he gets back home, wasn't enough. So he was brokenhearted. All this hard work, all these whooshes, all these embarrassing situations, not helping him. What am I going to do? He realizes eventually he doesn't have a choice. He has to spend another year in America, away from his family. He found it very difficult to share the news with his wife. Back in the day with telegrams, she was also brokenhearted, she was destroyed. What happened? How come you didn't make enough money? And he said, we don't have a choice, I need to spend another year, but this year I need to be more effective, I need to be better at what I do. I need to raise a lot more money. And he decided, Ken and I have to collaborate, I have to join together with someone else, and together we'll give each other a hope, two as a group, you're able to be more effective. And that's what they did. The two of them got together and they started going around collecting. And they actually did really well. They went from shore to shore, from house to house. They didn't waste a second. They raised a very lot of money. They put it together in their joint bank account with the hope that after another year of spending time in America, they would be able to they'd go home and be, what we say in better English, mitpanes b'kavod, live in dignity. After a full year of doing this, working hard, but managing to raise a lot of money, they decided, we're going to head back to our home shtetl in not too long. They already booked the tickets. They had enough money still left in the bank. And they decided, tomorrow we're going to go, we're going to daven, and then off we go to the boat. He woke up the next morning, and he wanted to go to daven together with his friend. His friend had already gotten up, seemingly gone to daven late. He wanted to prepare towards the journey. So he went to daven himself, came back, packed the suitcases. His friend wasn't yet back. Strange, what's going on? But can't miss the boat. You know, we're loyalty, but to a degree, right? You know, we can't miss it. So after waiting a little too long, he said, that's it, I'm going. He took his suitcase, headed off to the port, and on the way to the stop off by the bank to pick up his share of the money. But when he reached the bank and he asked to withdraw his share of the money, as we say, it wasn't there. His friend was a friend of his money and had very smartly taken everything for himself and ran home or somewhere else, and he was left over here alone, no money, no way to go home, and no words to be able to express to his wife what had just happened. He had to somehow speak to his wife, and his wife was broken. She was crying on the phone. He was crying. And she said, there's no way I can do another year over here on my own with a kindle without money. And he said, there's no way I can come home. Until they realized the only solution was for the wife and children to leave their hometown, their shtetl, and come to America as people who didn't speak the language, couldn't immigrate very well, couldn't settle very well, but there was no other choice. They were very, very upset. They did what they had to do. They had to borrow money, which they didn't have, to be able to bring the family over. The family came over, they tried to settle in. It didn't go well. They didn't immigrate well, they didn't settle well, and they were bitter and upset for a long time. All until the war broke out, and everyone in that shtetl was killed. and those who were in America survived. And then they realized that yes, sometimes there's a chok in life. We don't understand why Hashem did that. But Hashem has a master plan, and sometimes it takes years until we understand it. And sometimes we may never understand it, but there's always a plan behind it, and it's always for our best. Recently we experienced two tremendous Yamim Tovim, Pesach and Shavuos. And if we pay attention to these Yamim Tovim, each Yom Tov is a big deal in the calendar. Pesach is 7 days, 8 days, where we're busy talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there's Leila Seder, there's a lot going on, where we really take in the Emunah and Bitachon. And then that's it. We put aside Pesach, we put aside Emunah and Bitachon, but not really. Every day, many times a day, we're busy remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim in a smaller way, the end of Krishna, the Sheish Skiros, whatever else, we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Take the next one to pick Shavuos. Shavuos is a big deal, even bigger than Pesach. We're busy preparing for 50 days for this day when we're going to receive the Torah. Why not Shavuos? We stay awake and we drink coffee and Red Bulls and we're so excited about the Torah and the fancy sudas and everything. And then Shavuos finishes. But we still make sure to remember to connect this day. In fact, every day we say this in the Sheish Tchiris. Ragi Shomrachon Shmurinav Shechon Mo'oid. We have to be very careful. The Torah says we have to be very careful. Pen tishkech es edvar mishal ro inecho, u pen yasru mulvavcho koi mei chayecho, vodat l'vincho, u l'vnei bincho. To your children and to your grandchildren, what? Yoy na shalmat ato l'fnei Hashem l'kecho b'chayre. The Torah warns us very carefully. Every single day you have to remember this. What's the idea over here? The idea is in Yiddishkeit. The way Hashem sets things up is we have once in a while a big boost of Emunah, a big boost of Chizuk. And then we have to take that with us throughout the year or the upcoming Tkufa. Pesach is when we recharge, and throughout the year we reconnect to Pesach. Shavuos is the same thing, and in fact every Yom Tov has that in its own way, and every special event has it in its own way, how we have a big boost, and then we need to reconnect. And on a slightly deeper level, it's really the reconnecting which Hashem wants. It's not the big boost. The big boost is, well, that's the gift from Hashem. Pesach is a time where Hashem goes and brings down the Shevet of the world, likewise Shavuos. That's easy. Our avodah is in the days which follow. Let's just take the example of Kriyas Yamsu. Hashem went and split the sea once, and everyone, the entire world saw how Hashem runs the world. So, why don't we have a Kriyas Yamsuf today? If we have a Kriyas Yamsuf, we'd also have Emunah and Bitachon. The answer is yes, of course we'd have Emunah and Bitachon. But then, where would our Avodah be? If we see a split sea, then we don't need to welcome ourselves to believe in Hashem. So Hashem goes and sends it once, and then we afterwards, with our avodah, we go and reconnect to it, and that's the time we really get tzchah for, the time when we work on really doing it from our own place, putting in our own efforts and our own hard work. And that's really very, very much the idea. Whenever Hashem sends us what we call a window of siyata d'shmaya, a window of seeing the Yad Hashem, the idea is, take that moment, cherish that moment, put that moment in your pocket. And better still, like Reb Chatzkel said, take out a notebook, write it down. I had this tzara, I had this problem, and Hashem came along and He brought a tremendous siyata d'shmaya. Put that in your pocket, put that in your notebook, and then when you go through another difficulty, another challenge, and you read your own history, you read your own stories, all of a sudden, you're able to, again, with your own avodah, which is really connecting to Hashem, you're able to actually go and build yourself to a much higher level. I heard many years ago from Tzvi Batz, he should have a Rafal Shalema, he said in a shul something amazing. He said, you sometimes have people who, they talk about the world, you know, the world, let's give what we call a rating to the world. You know, today everything's about ratings, how many stars do you give it, how much ratings do you give it. So let's go and give a rating to the world. And they start chanting about the good parts of the world and how everything's advancing and technology and people having good lives. And then they start talking about the tsaras and the difficulties which happen in the world. People are suffering and there's illness and there's poverty and there's all kinds of other tsaras. And they say, we'll give the world a 7 out of 10. We'll give the world a 4 out of 10. You know, everyone according to their, their chokhmas hachayim, let's put it that way. And he says, you know what their mistake is? As follows. Imagine that a person has a nice Parker pen. He has a pen and he's got something stuck in his teeth. So what does he do? He needs to get it out. So he takes the pen and he starts trying to dislodge the little bit of stuck food in his, and somehow he manages to get the food out. But he decided, well, let's give this pen a little bit of a rating. Let's have a look. It's good. It's not quite like a toothpick. It's not thin enough, it's not pointy enough. We'll give it a rating 4 out of 10. One second, my friend. This pen was not designed as a toothpick. How can you rate it as a toothpick if it's designed as a pen? As a pen, it's a 10 out of 10. These people out there, they go and they rate the world as a world which is designed for pleasure, and then they have the chutzpah to go and rate it as a 4 out of 10 because it's not giving the maximum pleasure. And as we know from all the Sron and the Mesilas Sharm in the beginning speaks a lot about it. The world has a particular tachlis. It's lavad v'lamad bin soyan, it's to get closer to Hashem. It actually is to derive pleasure. But the ultimate pleasure, not just the shallow pleasures which exist over here. Hashem has designed the world as a perfect world. And if anyone who has a little bit of seichel goes and rates the world, it's 20 out of 10. Just you have to know what the world is designed for. Klal Yisrael are going through very difficult times at the moment. From Eretz Yisrael to America, and of course here in England, it's not easy with all the anti-Semitism and the inflation and the many challenges both Baruch Yisrael and Baruch Yisrael are going through. But this is exactly the time when we have the ability to connect to Hashem from our own koyches. How do we do that? By looking at those beautiful times when Hashem came and He gave us gifts. He showed us, you were in a challenging time? Don't worry, it worked itself out. As the Pasuk said, Hayom yiliditicha, have I given birth to you today? No. It's been a long history. We've all got a life where we went through difficulties which Hashem saved us from. If we keep that in our notebook, and we read that notebook during difficult times, we'll get to reconnect to Hashem. We'll get to see that even in the difficult times, Hashem is there with us. And with that, we go to the Hamshach of the Pasuk where Hashem says, Sha'ami men ve'etna, just ask for me and I'll give you. And it means Hashem, we go to the Shefa, which Hashem so much wants to give us. Sometimes we see it and sometimes we don't. Shkoyach.
This is what the Torah instructed us As we know, Tel Chalisot is a great power, which perfect one, no womb, and has had no yoke on it. So, stop to Rashi. So Rashi, the future has sought on the Bahumas Olam, moaning as he saw Loma, Ma Mitzvah has us. Everyone picks up on this. This is at best for weird. Ma Tami Ishba, what possible explanation could there be for? Don't ask any questions.